this week on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
By his wounds, you've been made whole. Only his wounds can bind our wounds. Only his stripes can mend our brokenness. Only his death can raise us to a new life. Only his blood can heal the ravages of addiction. Only the cross can redeem us from sin and the consequences of it.
Leading the Way right now.
We come to this part in a series of messages of a transformed identity in Christ. When Peter is saying to us that when it comes to true heroism, you do not need to go any further than Jesus. For as a true believers in Jesus, we have one only true hero. We have only one true role model. We have only one true example for us to emulate. And while the world would hold up the sports figures and the famous singers and the famous celebrities as heroes, there is only one true role model who is worthy of the name. Turn with me, please, as we follow in this series of messages from 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 21 all the way to 25. In verse 21, he begins by saying, "For this you have been called." What? What is this? "For this you have been called." Now, there are some people say suffering. But the construction of the sentence does not lend itself to this interpretation. There are some believers suffer. Thank God for most of us, it's a temporary situation. Thank God for most of us, we don't suffer all of our lives, although some people might be called to do that. But he's not saying you are called to suffering. He is saying you are called to this. This being that Jesus suffered and died on that cross, and by submitting to the will of the Father, he gave us a role model. He gave us an example to follow. He called us to emulate Christ no matter where he takes us. We are called to place our feet in the footsteps, the mark of the footsteps of Jesus, regardless of our circumstances. He called us to model what Christ has modeled for us to our children and to our community. Now, here in this passage, Peter is quoting from the Old Testament, particularly Isaiah 53. This passage, that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25, five verses. Those five verses are actually the hub around which the entire epistle revolves. Those five verses, 21 to 25, are the cornerstone upon which the whole epistle is built. These five verses are the very core of the entire first epistle of Peter. Some of you may be asking, well, if that's the case, why didn't he start with that? Why didn't he begin with the cornerstone? Why did he begin with the core? Great question. Because Peter wanted us to first understand our primary call. He wanted us to first revel and delight ourselves in the blessings of God that this call brings to us. He wants us first to be so overwhelmed by the privileges of the call of Christ on our lives. He wanted us first to rejoice in the blessings that we have received from his hand when he called us. And that's why we started with the sevenfold blessings. In fact, that is why, if you go up a few verses, verse 9, he said, "We were called out of darkness into light." Stay with me. Many people describe themselves as followers of Jesus. Some people use it accurately, some people don't. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to emulate him in every way. And here Peter gives us three, at least three, but three areas in which we can emulate Jesus if we really claim to be truly followers of Jesus and not just use it as a slogan. First of all, by not taking matters into your own hand and do your own vengeance, even if when you have the power to do it, even when you have the opportunity to do it. And secondly, by waiting patiently for God's justice to be manifested. And thirdly, by never compromising or denying biblical truth, regardless of the cost, regardless of the price. Let's look at these very quickly, those three. By not taking matters of revenge into our own hands. In the last message, we saw that when we suffer injustice and we have no recourse, we need to trust God for the outcome. And here Peter is building on this. He's building on it. And he's saying, if you are looking for an example in this matter of injustice that you have suffered, look no further than what Jesus did. Learn how Jesus did it and copy him. Follow the example of Jesus in such matters. Again, you need to look at the context. As I told you last time, Peter was writing in the context of a total dictatorship. Back then, Christians, when they become victims, they have no recourse whatsoever. No court system that at least have been founded on biblical principles, or no judges like we do today who at least have a smattering of biblical knowledge. Back then, there was no justice for believers whatsoever. In our case, we can pursue all legal means, and sometimes we get dragged into courts, not by our own will. But if and when that fails, listen carefully, if and when that fails, we come to a dead end and face injustice, what we must do is follow the model of Jesus. It is when those in authority exercise injustice, it is when the courts of justice promote injustice, when that happens, then we must emulate Jesus. How? It's Jesus' cry to the Father at the Garden of Gethsemane. During that time of the greatest injustice that has ever taken place, ever in human history, greatest injustice that has ever been perpetrated on humanity. In that garden, he said, if there some other way, when the only sinless, perfect, pure man, God Jesus, was spat upon and slapped on the face and lashed and whipped and made to carry a tree on his shoulder on which he was nailed. He did not take revenge. He could have. And Peter's saying, I lived with him. I know he did nothing wrong. I know he was perfect in word and in action and thought. And he could have called upon the Father to send the legions of angels and they would have responded and showed up. But he didn't. Why? Because if he took revenge, which he could have, he would not have paid for the price and the wages and the consequences of your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin. Don't ever forget, Peter was there. He watched it all. He caved under pressure and denied Jesus. In fact, in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, I am an eyewitness to all of this. No doubt Peter was thinking, probably as the Holy Spirit inspired him to pin those words at the time, he was thinking of the time when Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus was telling them about the cross and the crucifixion and how he must die, then rise again. And Peter wanted nothing of that. He did not want to hear that. None of them did, but Peter was verbal about it. And Peter wanted Jesus not to go through the cross. And Jesus called him a mouthpiece of Satan. Then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled his knife and chopped the ear of one of the soldiers, still hoping to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword away, Peter. This is not the Father's way." The Father's way is always different from Satan's way. The Father's way is always different from the world's way. Satan is the god of this world, and the people of Satan believe that violence is the answer, but the Father's way is love is the answer. The people of the world say revenge is the answer to all relationships, but the Father's way says, vengeance is mine. Leave it in my hand. The people of the world say, get them. And the Father says, let God take care of them. The people of the world say, get them before they get you. And the Father's way says, be like Jesus. Trust me with the outcome. Trust me with the outcome. First, following the footprints of Jesus means that we not take revenge, even when we can, even we have the opportunities. Secondly, following Jesus' footprints means is waiting patiently for God's justice. Now listen to me. If you think I'm going to tell you that this is easy, waiting for God's justice, you would be wrong. I'm not saying that. I know it's hard, you know it's hard. Let's be truthful about it. Especially when man's justice has completely failed. Nobody on the face of the earth who's treated unjustly could ever say, I have been more unjustly treated than Jesus. No one. The worst injustice you could ever experience in this lifetime, it could never be more than Jesus. The best among us is subject to bias and self-serving attitude. The greatest among us is a subject to self-deception and wrong motives. As God, my witness in heaven, I agonize in prayer. I agonize every time I'm making a decision, big or small. I agonize in prayer so as to examine my motives and cry out to God, but I cannot tell you that standing here today that every time my motives was always 100% pure. And so, my beloved friends, if and when you suffer injustice or treated unjustly, you could never say, I was 100% pure. None of us can. Only Jesus can. Verse 22, Jesus was the only sinless, perfect, and pure. Why? Because God the Father demanded that only a perfect sacrifice would suffice to carry the sin of every repentant sinner. And because of the Father's demand of this incomparable injustice took place. Now I have a question for you. Are you ready? Does this mean that God approves or condones injustice? God bless you. This is the most biblically literate congregation in the world. He was himself the victim of his own injustice, but he never condones injustice. But here's the fact. No one will ever get away with injustice. Sooner or later, they will face justice. But Jesus waited patiently for this justice to take place. And then, as we know, on early Sunday morning, the Father raised him from the dead. Not only that God thus assures us that he is the God of justice, and his justice will take place sooner or later, and that justice will be done for us if we trust him with the outcome. No matter how long it takes, he is going to come through for you. But also his word assures us again and again and again that even greater justice for Jesus is yet to come when he comes back, not as the one who was humiliated, but as the one who will be the supreme judge, not as the one who was insulted and slapped across the face, but as the God of power and might, not as the one who helplessly hung on a cross, but as the one who will stand upon the crest of the earth, not as the one who was dragged before Pontius Pilate and Herod, but as the one who will rule with an iron scepter, not as the one who is the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of Judah, who is going to put all his enemies as his footstool. That is the complete and final justice. First, don't be anxious to take revenge, even when you can. Secondly, wait patiently for God's injustice. And thirdly, following Jesus' footprints means that you stand firm for the truth, regardless of the price, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus could have fudged the answer and it would have worked. He could have saved his neck. He could have compromised just a little bit. He could have said to himself, "You know, I know who I am, and it doesn't matter what this guy thinks, and I just kind of shade the truth a little bit. I'll just tell him what he wants to hear. I'll give him a politically expedient answer, and I'll get out scot-free." No way, Jose. Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, "You said it, Buster." Pontius Pilate asked Jesus again, "Do you know that I have power to set you free and power to kill you?" Here's a Yusuf translation. Not on your life. You have no power of your own that's not given to you. Question. Why did Jesus didn't just become ambivalent about this question? Now watch that word, ambivalent. This, my beloved friend, is a word that is preached in many an evangelical pulpit today. Be ambivalent about things that we're not sure about in the Bible. Watch for that word. Watch it, and you'll be surprised. It's so subtle. We can't be really sure of everything. We can't be really sure what is sin and what is not sin. We just need to be ambivalent and tell people we don't know. Beloved, you know and I know that there are some people who would compromise for a dollar. There are some many people who would compromise to escape an insult, let alone death and life. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? Before you answer and you say, "Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus," ask yourself the question, do I refuse to compromise my biblical conviction regardless of the cost? In politics, there's what they call the art of compromise, and that's fine for politics. They say, go for the full loaf and then settle for half a loaf. They say, you know, a deal is always win-win. That's wonderful. That's great. But, beloved, listen to me. Not when it comes to the eternal biblical truth. There can be no half-heartedness. There can be no half price. There can be no discount price. There can be no compromise. The world says loving people means that you love their rebellion and their sin. The world says loving people means that you love their godless lifestyle. That loving people means that you must love their immorality. Those who truly call themselves followers of Jesus must lovingly, thoughtfully, and graciously say no and a million no's. For God made only one way for sin to be dealt with. He made only one provision for sin to be taken care of, and that's by confessing it, by repenting of it. That means that you must believe that it's His stripes on that cross that made you whole. Only His wounds can bind our wounds. Only His stripes can mend our brokenness. Only His death can raise us to a new life. Only His blood can heal the ravages of addiction. Only the cross can redeem us from sin and the consequences of it. By His wounds, you've been made whole in every way, in every way. But that's not all. When you come to Him, He will not only heal your broken heart, He will not only do that, but He will keep on healing you. He will keep on healing, keep on binding your wounds. He keep on being the shepherd of your soul, the bishop and the overseer of your soul. He keep on being your heavenly Father. Jesus doesn't want you to come to Him so He can take revenge. He wants you to come to Him because He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. And He longs for that. Can you truly say, I'm a follower of Jesus' footsteps? Can you say, where He leads me, I will follow?
Connect with Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org. There you can find today's message, shop the store for powerful resources, and discover how God is moving around the world. Download the free Leading the Way mobile app. Find us on Roku, subscribe to our podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Engage with the Bible and God's global work at ltw.org. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
You know, my friends, Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus Christ through our broadcast in large numbers. As a result, they are experiencing intense persecution, and we felt God's call to help them. Since then, we have provided practical support to tens of thousands of persecuted Christians around the world. In fact, right now, our teams are on the ground helping many who have fled ISIS. Your partnership is making this possible. See for yourself.
My name is Joshua Youssef. I run Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. We are a radio and television ministry in the Middle East, as well as domestically here in the United States. We have an Arabic satellite channel called the KingdomSat. In addition to that, we have a ministry called Help the Persecuted, which was started before the Arab Spring. I could have never guessed that what was unleashed in the Middle East would take place. And so the Help the Persecuted ministry last year raised just under $1 million to help 2,500 families who have fled persecution.
Over my shoulder is a United Nations peacekeeping mission. They are keeping watch on this Syrian, Israeli, and Lebanese borders right here. This is the largest refugee crisis in the history of the world. Our ministry, Help the Persecuted, has been on the ground in countries where these displaced peoples are, helping those who are leaving and fleeing for their lives.
We got out of the van and saw him pointing his machine gun at us. He snatched my son and put him in the van.
We just had to go immediately. No job, no income, no future, no place to stay. They wanted to burn my house. We were sitting in the living room and they threw these carton boards behind the house. They set them on fire and the glass windows broke.
All the staff are on ground now and we are all under risk of ISIS, militants in the region, and radicals.
What happens, usually we step in, and we do that through trusted partners. Usually we ask the representative in that country to go and visit them and assure us that there is a need.
Helping placing people in homes, paying rent for them. We help them with their surgeries, pay for medication, pay for mattresses, food.
On Friday, I got back from Beirut, Lebanon. We got to tour some refugee camps. Many of these children, many of these people have seen horrific things.
To be honest with you, it's just so sad to see the way people live. Most of them are living in tents. in cold weather, 100 families sharing two bathrooms. You just look at them and wish you do have more resources to help them.
That's not a way a human being should live. That's the way rats live. We should get them from there.
So what help the persecuted is doing, we are trying to reach those with the love of Christ.
The ministry of Help the Persecuted is not only humanitarian ministry, because it's linked 100% with reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the food that will last forever.
We are seeing and witnessing something unprecedented. Satan has overtipped his hand, and our sovereign God is using this war and this refugee crisis for his glory. And one of the pastors we met said, this is the greatest antidote to terrorism. These people will hear the gospel, and God willing, we should pray that the doors will open for them to go back into Syria and to share the gospel with their neighbors. This is our prayer, that things would change so that they can go back and be ministers and be missionaries.
I am the daughter of Jesus Christ, the daughter of the great Lord. I am the daughter of the Lord who humbled himself and descended from heaven. I am so happy. If I hadn't become a refugee, I would have stayed lost.
We lost our land, we lost our home, but we want eternal life. Thank you for your care, and nothing else now is left apart from praying.
I just want to express my gratitude to everyone who's been supporting, giving money, or even praying for this kind of ministry. You guys are making all the difference. Thank you.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.